Everyone, thank you so much. Please go ahead and be seated. And now let's sort of shift gears here for a moment. We're in a message series called Obstacle Course, a brief three-week series. You know what an obstacle course is. It's filled with stumbling blocks and impediments designed to slow you down. And we're taking a look at some obstacles that might slow us down in coming to faith in Jesus or maturing in Jesus. And so today I want to ask the question, what obstacles stand between the gospel taking root and bearing fruit? And personalize that. What obstacles stand between the gospel taking root and bearing fruit in your life? Last week, we walked through the parable of the sower, where Jesus said one obstacle is that you're a hearer of the Word of God, but you don't apply it. Now, next week, we'll specifically talk about doubt and how doubt can be an obstacle. You know, there is a kind of doubt, though, that can propel faith and energize it. And there's another kind of doubt that just remains in perpetual cynicism. Today, I want to highlight three potential obstacles, but you need to know the big idea right up front. You need to know the main point of this message and this series, and I give it to you by a couple of analogies from Jesus. Here it is, out of Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, notice, he hid it, and then in his joy, he went and he sold all he had, and he bought that field. And then again, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one pearl of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Here's the big idea. Do not allow any obstacle to keep you from the pearl of great price or the treasure in the field. Jesus is the pearl of great price. He is the treasure in the field. And whatever obstacle or impediment is there, push through it. Now, today I want to highlight, underscore, and make you aware of three potential obstacles. Here's the first one, the fear of rejection. The fear of rejection. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. Now, listen to this. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Let that last phrase sink in. Does that describe you? You love the praise of men more than the praise of God? Let's say it another way. Fitting in was more important than swimming against the current. Fitting in was more important than standing up for the Lord. And their fear trumped their faith. And my concern is that in our culture, we're far too prone to make decisions based on image than conviction. And we constantly want to do this to see what the opinion polls say. Now, some of you are familiar with Patricia Heaton. You've watched her maybe on the TV show Everyone Loves Raymond. I understand she stars in a new show now called The Middle. I've not seen it. She was in the news this past week because on her Twitter account, she is a strong Christian, and she made some statements that were very, very pro-life, anti-abortion. And so you can read about that in the news. She takes a stand there. But a few years ago, she was scheduled to be a presenter at the American Music Awards. But the show became so raunchy and so vulgar that even before she was scheduled to get up, she told her assistant, she said, look, just go ahead and get the car. I have had enough of this. I am leaving. She said, I don't want my name associated with this. She said, and I quote, look, I'm no prude, but it was such a vulgar and disgusting show that as far as I'm concerned, it was an affront to anyone with a shred of dignity, self-respect, and intelligence. So she walked out. Somebody asked her afterwards, said, well, are you feeling the heat from Hollywood these days? She said, and I quote, on a personal level as a Christian, it will not be Barbara Streisand I'm standing in front of when I give an accounting of my life. Barbara is not going to be in charge of the assignment of my wings. So ultimately, if I have to, I can pack all this up and do something else. Listen, that puts it in perspective. And when you are ridiculed for your faith, or reprimanded at work because you want to be a person of integrity and honesty, stay true to the Lord. Don't cave in to culture. Always seek the praise of God more than the praise of men and women. Live for that audience of one. One obstacle to the gospel taking root and bearing fruit is the fear of rejection. Here's a second obstacle, and I introduce this one with a little fable, okay? A fable. There was a discussion going on in heaven. Four people were involved in this discussion. You had well-known saint from the Middle Ages, Francis of Assisi. You had George Mueller from the 19th century, William Penn, and Barnabas, written about in the New Testament. Francis of Assisi stood up and he said, "Guys, I'm so concerned about Americans because they are so involved with money, consumed with it, money, what can I buy, about their image, and they're not paying attention to what's really important." And he said, "I think they need to do what I did, which was embrace complete detachment from possessions." And Francis of Assisi said, "I sold everything. Everything. And then if I needed to eat or if I needed something to wear, I would just go around and beg for it. I had complete detachment from my possessions." Well, George Mueller said, "Well, I can appreciate that, but, you know, I was able to help about 2,100 orphans, partner with about 189 missionaries, was able to have a part in the copying of several Bibles to give to people who didn't have a Bible. And if I had given away everything, I wouldn't have had any money to invest in the work of the church." William Penn said, "Well, now that's a good thought, but you know, the Lord also teaches in the Bible to maybe make investments, that you have something like this, and if you invest it wisely, you can get more, and you have now even more possibility to do even more work for the Lord." And Barnabas stood up and he said, "All of that's great, but the attitude that needs to underscore everything we do financially is that I'm willing to make a sacrifice." And he said, "For me, the early church in Jerusalem needed something. I had a field. I sold it." And I said, "Here." I was able to energize that church in Antioch. I was able to help John Mark get started in the faith. And yes, I picked up the tab in a lot of different places. But brothers and sisters, he said, it's that spirit of sacrifice that will keep your soul on fire and the church on the march. In times of adversity, Christians may be called upon to sacrifice their very life. But in times of prosperity, we're called upon to take a part of our livelihood and sacrifice a part of it. What's obstacle number two? It's the love of money. The love of money. Even in the parable of the soil, which we read last week from Mark chapter 4, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. From Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, there's a myth, and here it is, that my money is not a spiritual matter. It is. And you know, don't you, how you wage war against the love of money? Two ways. Number one, gratitude. You're grateful for what you have as of today. And number two, you give not as a tip, but you give in a first fruits mentality. You take a look at what you've been given, and the very first thing you do, you say, "What part of this can I give to God's work?" Giving is good for you. It's what you do to wage war against the love of money. And you know what? I love money. I can't say, well, I've just crucified. No, I love it every single day. I mean, if I had a money machine up here, if an angel came down and said, Ronnie, we got a money machine. It's going to create legitimate $1,000 bills. You get one shot to tell me how long you want it to go. He starts it. And after a couple of minutes, he says, okay, is that enough? No, it's not enough. Keep it going. After 10 minutes, is that enough? Keep it going. Well, Ronnie, you just tell me when you've had enough. I don't know that I could say when I've had enough. We fight the love of money by being thankful and by giving first. Now, here's the third obstacle. It's the ghosts of past failures. The ghosts of past failures. And I want to distinguish here very quickly between two different types of failure. There is failure in the Christian life, and there is failure in the life of a Christian. Now, let me talk about the first one. Failure in the Christian life. This is where I've done something morally, spiritually, that I really regret. Is there anybody in this room that's ever done anything you really regret besides me? Yeah. And sometimes it can wear you out. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about a situation and it says, look, it's time to forgive and comfort this particular person. Otherwise, he may be overcome with discouragement. Have you ever been almost overcome with discouragement? Listen, but you don't have to live with guilt, regret, or shame anymore. Here's a verse of Scripture that talks about God's soap and water, where he says he will get rid of the dirt and forgive and wipe it away. 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins. And notice, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. As a believer, you don't have to have regret in your past. Why? Because your past has been swallowed up in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. But there's another kind of failure. And this is not moral failure, but it can do some damage to your psyche, to your emotions, and sometimes to your faith because you may question God. And this is not failure in the Christian life, but failure, a setback, a disappointment in the life of a Christian. You look in the mirror and you say, I've just become a statistic. They told me they don't need me anymore. I've been relieved of my duties. I didn't make the team. I just knew I'd get into that school. I didn't get into the school. I played by the rules. I worked hard. I prayed about this. And it's not going to happen. Not a moral failure, but a setback in your life. So how are you going to handle that? Couple of things. First of all, we can learn from our failures. We can look at them. We can analyze them. Listen, that doesn't mean trying to figure out why God allowed it to happen. It isn't necessary to know why God sent that misfortune or why he allowed it. It's not necessary to understand all the details to benefit from it. And this, as hard as this is for me to say, sometimes God has something for you to learn or me to learn that I'm not going to learn in the moment of success, but it's going to be a lesson I need to learn in a setback. You played by the rules. You gave it 120%, but you lost your job. There was a setback. There was a quote-unquote failure. Secondly, don't give up. You're not finished just because there's been a setback. With God's strength, you can pick up the pieces, having learned from it, and go on. To paraphrase an old motto in a different context, it's better to have tried and failed than not to have tried at all. And that is so true. Better to have tried and failed than not to have tried at all. And so when you encounter failure, ask God for the strength to go on, and He will give it to you. And here's the biblical word for it. Endurance. Endurance. So when you fail, do not despair. Do not think that God's abandoned you and given up. You can learn from it. You can receive His endurance, and you can press on. So what have we learned this morning? We've learned that Jesus is the pearl of great price, that He is the treasure in the field, and we must pursue Him. Do not allow the fear of rejection, the love of money, or the ghosts of failure to prevent the grace of Jesus Christ from taking root and bearing fruit in your heart. Let's bow and pray. Lord God, I'm asking that You might take what we've heard today, activate it, and make it live in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody, we want to spend a little time in prayer now, and you're certainly welcome to pray right where you are, but you're also invited to come down here and pray with one of our elder couples who will be down front. It would be our joy and honor and privilege to pray with you today. And during this time of prayer, you'll also see on our screen some coaching, some prayer coaching guides where various items that you might want to pray over. And if you think, well, I don't have anything to really pray about today, would you pray for me? I'll take your prayers, and I'll pray for you today as well. Okay, my friends, let's be standing together, singing and praying.